Hey, here we are, back where you belong. Reggie, good to see you. We are still both COVID-free. Good sign. We are recording this, but put this down in the book. We are recording this beforehand, but when we post this on May 18th, that's the exact four-year anniversary of this podcast. May 18th, 2016. 4 years today, as you're listening to this. You were not with me at that time, Reggie, but yeah, 4 years. And this is what, episode 208. So, pretty cool. Hopefully you will not, you weren't with us from the beginning, Reg, but you will be with us for many years to come because you have played an invaluable role in this podcast, and I appreciate your efforts. So let's make this one a good one. 4 years. This year we had both our 200th episode anniversary and now our 4 year episode, all within a month or so. So here we go. Ready? Those needles are jumping. Mike is hot. Talent is hotter, and always ready. Three S's: star, smile, and strong. And here we go. Ready? Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com. Just go to the podcast section. You will see a list of several podcasts. This is one of them. Click on that, and there we are. Also, we are available wherever you may download your favorite podcast, whatever platform you're at. Apple, whatever, an L platform, wherever you are at, we are there. So don't forget to download, subscribe, and rate this podcast. But most importantly, tell your friends. Send them a link. Send them an email. Send them a message. Send them your good tidings. Send them the word that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. That's the most important publicity we could ever get, is your word of mouth. And your devotion and your loyalty to this podcast is much appreciated. I'm getting some really nice messages on my Facebook page about each episode, and it's much appreciated. And it certainly makes doing this worthwhile to know that people are enjoying it. I'm having fun doing it, but it's great to know that you, the listener, are also having fun as well. So it's just one big party. And it is one big party, because today, if you are listening to this on the first day that this is posted, which is May 18th, Monday, today is the exact, to the day, 4 year anniversary of this exact podcast. May 18th, 2016 is the date of the first premiere episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and 4 years later, here we are, more than 200 episodes later, still having fun, still have things to talk about, and hopefully still entertaining you and keeping you interested. And if you like what you hear, and if you have liked what you hear over the last 4 years, if you are literally one of those who have been with us since episode one, thank you so much. I've been here since those that first episode, the last 4 years. So hopefully, what's been your excuse if you haven't been? I've been here. If I could do this every week, so could you. But yeah, 4 years. Wow, pretty cool. Now, Reg, the producer, has not been with us for 4 years, but certainly has become a major part of the behind-the-scenes part of the podcast. So, Reggie, we celebrate with you as well. But we celebrate mostly with you, the listener, because it's been your loyalty and your devotion and your interest and your feedback that has, as I said before, inspired me to continue to do this. I had no idea that I'd be doing this for this long. I initially just thought of it as something, a little experiment to keep my name out there and to, you know, hopefully lead to something more permanent on a regular basis on the radio, but also just keep my skills honed and my name in the public arena. And it's worked to some extent, but I've actually enjoyed the podcast in its own entity, and I'm glad that you have as well. So 4 years, and here we go, moving on to 5. And if you've liked what you've heard these past 207 episodes, you can listen to those at WGNradio.com. If you go to the podcast section and hit my prompt, all 207 are there. You can go back and listen to episode 1 from May 18th, 2016. It's there. And now we are 4 years to the date. It worked out perfect, didn't it? To the date, May 18th, 2016, May 18th, 2020. 4 years and counting. There are 207 previous episodes in that archive, which can only mean one thing. Welcome to 208. And we are going to have a little fun here today, as we usually do. But no big parties. You know, you can't really have any parties in a COVID world, can you? Although this is probably as close as you could have in terms of this really not having to change very much. The podcast environment has not changed, really, in terms of the actual delivery of this and the actual presentation. We've had a lot of differences in our lives in terms of social distancing and not being able to socialize with people and go to public events and congregate, and people's work situations have either stopped completely, which is very unfortunate and very sad, or a lot of people have become work-at-home people and are using new technologies, or in some cases, established technologies they never used before, in order to video conference and do their work. So it's an interesting time, certainly. But the podcast, in terms of putting it together and recording it and sending it out to you, really has not been affected by the COVID shutdown. So podcasts are COVID Teflon, if you will. But I must say, I was talking about some of these technologies that have been around. So, okay, it is now May 18th. I would assume by now, it's been two full months, pretty close to it. I pinpoint the beginning of the shutdown, even though it in terms of the literal shutdown, when businesses and restaurants and schools and so many public offices and stuff were officially shut down, at least here in Illinois, was in late March. But I consider when this really took hold and became serious, I mark that date as March 12th, because that was the day that the sports leagues all canceled their current seasons. And when that happened, it got the attention of everyone in this country. If the COVID wasn't on your radar screen before March 12th and 13th, it became a huge deal on those days when everybody had to turn around and say, now, wait a minute. If sports teams are canceling their leagues, then why is everything else open? And soon after that, everything started to fall. The dominoes began to fall and things began to close, and governors and mayors all of a sudden started to announce the closings of many government offices and services, and companies started to, shut down and have their people either not working or working from home. And it really started when the sports teams canceled. We talked about sports a couple of podcasts ago, and but that seemed to be an eye-opener. The NBA actually was the first one, if you remember. And then after that, the NHL followed, and then baseball was already in its spring training, and that stopped, and then pretty much everything stopped. But so here we are, at least almost, now more than two, I consider it more than 2 months into this and still going, even though things are loosening up. But you have to admit, I would think, that most people to this point, at least one time, have Zoom technology. I don't even know what the word is. They've Zoomed. You've Zoomed, haven't you? Haven't you Zoomed? I bet some of you have Zoomed more in the last 2 months than you even texted or talked on the phone. And certainly you've probably Zoomed more than you've seen your family, or your extended family, or your close friends in person. In fact, Zoom is the way that you have been able to keep in touch. And what's the irony of the Zoom phenomenon is that this was a video conferencing technology that's been around since 2011. Not new, been around. A lot of people use it for in corporate areas, and because of the ability to have multiple screens on your laptop or your desktop computer or even your phone, and the ability that it's free, it became the chosen communication tool initially, and still, I would think, for the most part, in the COVID shutdown. Zoom. This company that's been sitting around with, they probably themselves are shocked at what happened. And they have to be, at this point, delighted in that in a very short time, because of the compressed, stressful situation that this COVID shutdown has forced upon us, in record time, Zoom went from obscurity to commonplace, quicker than maybe any technology in the history of technology, even more than the iPhone, in terms of it not even being on the radar screen of some people, to now a daily tool that they use and feel addicted to. And in these days, we get addicted to technologies very quickly, but this one, given the outside influence of the isolation and what the Zoom technology enables us to do, which is to at least have some kind of socialization with our friends and family and with multiple people for free, well, what the heck? So here comes Zoom out of nowhere. I mean, 6 months ago, if you said, do you Zoom, or have you ever used Zoom, or you used even the word Zoom, now this depends on your age, but if you grew up around in the 70s or 80s, you may remember a PBS show called Zoom. There was a show in the early days, right around, you know, in that same time when the Electric Company on PBS and Sesame Street were all getting involved in educational programs for children. And Zoom was an offshoot. I believe it started in Boston, and it was a weird kind of show, actually. It was a bunch of kids, and they had educational segments, but it was much looser, and it was like the kids just being kids and learning and playing games and doing science experiments and doing little projects. So it was low key. It wasn't overtly educational because there were no adults. It was all kids. So it didn't feel like you were like really learning, because it was the kids who you were experiencing and sort of hanging out with. And every season that Zoom was on, they had a new crop of kids. And I believe it started in like 1972 and went to at least the 80s and 90s. It certainly was not as popular as it was initially in the 70s, because then more shows and more choices became available to people, especially with cable television. But in the early days of PBS And the early days of the idea of educating kids through television, Zoom was the show. In fact, you won't be surprised to know this, but I retain so much useless information in my brain, but I still remember the Zoom theme song. If you are around my age, if you're, you know, in your early 50s, you will remember this. And if you remember, come on and zoom, 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 zoom. Come on and zoom, 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 zoom. Come on, give it a try. We're going to teach you to fly high. Come on and zoom. Come on and zoom, zoom. And if you remember, the kids all wore rugby shirts, at least the initial crop of kids. They used to wear those very popular in the 70s, were the red and dark blue striped rugby shirts with the white collar. And that was the Zoom uniform. And they had a bunch of kids. And I remember there was a girl named Maura. I remember Maura for some reason. And I also remember a girl named Belinda. And the reason I remember Belinda was that every kid, they would introduce them and they would do something kooky. And I mean, these were like, you know, 8 to 10-year-old kids, maybe preteens, you know, and some of you younger. So, you know, it was definitely aimed at kids. I mean, I'm sure if you were an adult, you did not understand the show at all. But young kids got it because it was kids talking to kids. And I remember Belinda, when she would say hello, when she would be introduced, they would all do something kind of goofy. And Belinda did this thing with her arms. She wasn't double jointed, but it was this thing. And I, you know, that's the beauty of radio, I guess, right? You can do this, the magic of radio, right? But she would like do this thing with her arms where she would, they would, I don't even know how to describe it now. It looked like her arms were tangled up in one another. That she would take her arms and they would go together and then they'd come. And you learned how to do it. It was just kind of like a quick little jerky muscle thing, but it looked kind of cool on television. And Belinda did this arm motion. And I remember Maura. That's all those are the kids I remember. But do you also remember if you watch Zoom? And go on, you can go on, YouTube, and if you hit Zoom 1972, you'll see what the show I'm talking about. So go and do that. That's your homework after you listen to this, and you'll see what I mean. It was a very primitive show when you look at it now. It's so low tech, and it's so low production value, but that's the way television was in the 70s. It wasn't that high tech yet. And this show, yet, it caught on with people because of its simplicity and because it was kids talking to kids, and it didn't feel like you were being, educated, because you know that's the thing about kids too. You know, little kids, you know, everybody hates school. So the idea was, how do we educate kids without making them feel like they're being educated? It was pretty slick, actually. But these kids were having fun too. They did little plays, they did rhymes and stories. So it wasn't all, you know, there were some science experiments and things like that, but it was mostly about interactions and kids talking to each other about things and maybe learning from that way. It wasn't necessarily about arithmetic or letters. It was actually more like personality learning, about learning how to get together and learning how to interact with other kids by watching other kids do it and feeling like you were a part of the Zoom team. And Zoom even had its own jingle. If you wanted to write a letter to Zoom, not only was that the theme song, but this one was even more ingrained in your mind, because they would always ask, if you want to write to us, you know, here's how. And there's nothing better. Ask any advertising person. There's nothing better than to get your point across than do it in a jingle, a musical jingle people remember. You know, we have that Cars for Kids on the radio and TV. My gosh, right? 1-877 Cars for Kids. Right. I don't even know what Cars for Kids is, but I know that phone number. And Zoom was smart. They used a lot of these these little kind of tricks, if you will, in order to implant information in kids' minds. And one of those was using the musical jingle. And so if they said, if you want to write to us at Zoom, they created this little jingle, which I still remember today. And maybe if you watch the show back in its heyday, you remember it too. But it was write Zoom, Z-O-O-M, box 350, Boston, Mass, 02134. I can't tell you, and this is no lie, when I had, you know, when I'm writing a letter, I still actually do write letters. When I'm sending something, for and now I still do, but for years and years and years before this, when you only had snail mail, I never had to look for the zip code to Boston. I knew it was Boston, Mass. 02134, because that was in the Zoom song. Write Zoom, Z-O-O-M, box 350, Boston, Mass. 02134. Now, of course, I have a problem with that because it should be 02134. You know how hung up I am on the O being substituted for the zero. They're all numbers. They're not letters and numbers. I know an O and a zero look the same. For some reason, we like to say O and then we use the number next. We never said 02. I don't know how that started. That's one of my little pet peeves. So I have a problem with the Zoom song, but at the same time, I give them a pass because they were only kids. But I mean, that is, I mean, that's in my brain for what, 40 some years? That's crazy. I can't remember some people's, you know, addresses today. My good friends, when we're writing out Christmas cards, I don't know their addresses. And I've known them for more than half my life. I don't know their address. But I do know if I want to write a letter to Zoom, I write Zoom, box 350, Boston, Mass. 02134. And then Zoom. The funny thing is, I didn't even watch Zoom all that much, and yet look at all this Zoom information I have. Talk about retaining information when you're a kid. If you ever doubt the importance of our early childhood in terms of what we learn and how it affects us and how it influences us later in life, this is a perfect example. I didn't even watch Zoom all that much. And yet that Zoom jingle and that Zoom song are implanted in my mind. I don't remember what I had for dinner yesterday, but I do remember, right, Zoom, Z-O-O-M, box 350, Boston, Mass. 02134. And the other cool thing about Zoom, aside from the cool rugby shirts, Belinda's cool arm thing, was that Zoom, and this was smart too, you know, try to find something that's unique. If you want to attract people, do something, you know, the whole idea of Zoom was this kind of cool little club, this cool little kids club that adults sort of weren't even invited to. You know, the whole idea was that it was just kids for kids. Not cars for kids, kids for kids. And the whole idea was then they created their own language so that this way, if you wanted to talk to your friends, your peers, without your mom and dad knowing what you were talking about, you could speak to them in the Zoom language. And so they introduce this Zoom language to the Zoom viewer to say, hey, you know, we're going to talk now in our own counter language here, our own coded language, so that our parents won't know what we're talking about. How fun is that? Every club, the coolness of the club is its exclusivity. And the more exclusive you make it and the more exclusive parts of it that make it, keep it away from the masses, make it more fun. So Zoom, the people behind Zoom were very smart. They were, I'm sure they were educators, but they also knew how to appeal to kids. Repetition, and at that time, kind of offering something that your parents won't know about. Like, it's just our secret. And that's the fun of any club, right? It's our secret. You heard about the Masons and their secrets, and, you know, all these different clubs have, you know, secret handshakes and all that stuff. Well, Zoom had its own countered language. It was called Ubby Dubby. It actually had a name, and someone devised this. I'm not sure who devised it, but once again, 40 some years later, I still remember this, and I could still speak Ubby Dubby. Now, have you ever heard the little kind of urban language called Pig Latin, where you put an A, you take the first letter off, and then you put an A at the end. So your people say, hey, Amscray. When you say Amscray, that's Pig Latin for scram, right? Hey, you've heard that in movies or TV shows. A lot more in the, you know, several years ago, but that used to be a common phrase. Hey, Amscray. That meant scram in Pig Latin, they used to call it, because it was another language, right? And all you did with Pig Latin is you took off the beginning suffix and put it at the M end and put an A at it. So scram, you took the S-C-R off, you put that at the end and then put an A at it, and you started the word with the A, the other A. So instead of scram, it was Amscray. And you could do that with any word. Convicts is I saw that on an Andy Griffith show. How did he say, like, convicts would be Anvikays, right? But you took the beginning of the word, put it to the back, and added an A to it. Amscray. That's the easiest one. That was Pig Latin. But Zoom had Ubby Dubby. And so you put an ub sound. So it was hubby frabens. You put an ub in every word. And that's how you could speak. And if you started to talk and say words like that, your parents wouldn't know what the heck you were talking about, but you knew because if you watched Zoom. So they always said hubby frabens. Dubu, yubu, nobo, whatabim, tabalking about? That was Ubby Dubby. Okay, I realize you think this is like an acid trip right now, but this really existed. The show Zoom really existed, and Ubby Dubby did. So once again, all I can tell you is go on Google and hit Zoom PBS, or go on YouTube and hit Zoom, and I guarantee you will see all of these things I'm talking about. You will hear the Zoom theme song. You will hear the Zoom address jingle. And I guarantee you, if you watch a whole episode, the kids on Zoom will speak Ubby Dubby. And they will say, hubby, frabens. My whole point of that little dissertation and little detour was the fact that before Zoom technology came around, the word Zoom was associated with that show for some people of that era. But now the word Zoom, everybody uses. Everybody uses the word. Everybody uses the technology. And as I was talking about before, in a matter of weeks, Zoom technology went from pure obscurity to pure commonplace, and it achieved the ultimate for a product. If you have a product, the ultimate thing that you want to happen is for the name of your product to become a verb. And by that I mean, when we use your product to describe the exact service that it provides. When you can, as a marketer or as a product placement person, you want, if you have you have achieved the top of the mountain, if you can get your product's name to be so prevalent, to be so ubiquitous, that it becomes known as the activity itself, that's a home run. Now, you can also say that, too, for products when they become the noun as well. When we order a cola, most people say, I'll have a large Coke. And then some places will say, well, is Pepsi okay? Yes. But when we think of a cola, we think of Coke. That's the ultimate product achievement. When your product, the name of your product, becomes associated with the entire category of product. Like Kleenex. Kleenex is a brand name. It's not a Kleenex. It's a tissue. But what do you say? Do you have a Kleenex? You're not asking specifically. Some may give you a Pons. They might not give you a Kleenex. But you ask for a Kleenex, and you what you're really asking for is the tissue. But it's taken on the name of itself. That's the ultimate thing. If you're in the world of business and you have a product, if you can make your product somehow become a noun or a verb, become known for what it is or what it does by your name brand, you should never be out. You should never be unemployed if you've been able to do that. And that's what happens with Zoom. Zoom has been around since 2011. That's 9 years. And in what, 2 or 3 weeks? In 2 or 3 weeks, in the early days of the COVID shutdown, from mid March to early April, and even before that, it was within a week or so that this Zoom technology and the use of it just began spread faster than the COVID virus itself around the country and around the world. It was just sitting there. It was used by a small amount of people. There's several video conferencing technologies that have been out there for years. Zoom has been out there since 2011, 9 years old. But for some reason, enough people used it in their business and realize that it'd be a great way to socialize with friends during this quarantine. And people who never used it before, it was easy to use, it was free, and it did the job. And now everybody is Zooming. I'm sure there's a lot of other video conferencing technologies in the works now, and I'm sure we're going to find some problems with Zoom. There were some early problems once it became so popular worldwide. Of course, the hackers then had to get involved, and while people were either, you know, distance learning on Zoom or just having a conversation with friends, hackers got into the Zoom technology and posted pornography up there during that. Hopefully the security measures now are a little stricter in Zoom, but at the time they didn't think they needed it. It was just another video conferencing technology that wasn't all that popular, that they didn't feel that they needed ironclad security, because it was just being used for the most part for businesses, even within companies themselves, not even outside. So maybe the security within the technology wasn't that up to par, because it didn't have to be. But when Zoom technology became the number one communication technology, which I would have to say it is even now more than texting in terms of how many people are using this on a regular basis, they had to tighten up their security, and hopefully they have. But regardless, the fact is Zoom in 2 weeks was able to leapfrog over every other video conferencing technology. And they did, COVID was able to do for Zoom what Zoom could not do for itself in 9 years. COVID did for Zoom in 2 weeks what Zoom could not do on its own for 9 years, and that is make itself a verb. Because now we say, do you Zoom? Did you Zoom? Oh, I'm Zooming. You put the ing, makes it active. I'm Zooming today, or I have a Zoom party, or a Zoom call, or I have a Zoom viewing party, or a Zoom book club, or Zoom everything. But I'm Zooming. Did you Zoom? Who are you Zooming? Who's Zooming who? Aretha Franklin had a song called Who's Zooming Who in the 80s. Who's Zooming who? Everybody's Zooming who right now. Everybody's Zooming everybody else. And I'm sure you have Zoomed, right? I'm sure you've Zoomed. It's been 2 months. You had to have, out of pure curiosity, I'm sure you Zoomed. Well, you will not be surprised if you listen to me with any regularity. You would not be surprised that I did not Zoom. I did not jump on the Zoom bandwagon. I've said many times that whenever I see something getting too popular, I do not run toward it. I run away from it. I don't know why. I don't like to be lumped in the pack. So when something gets, I'm many times an early adopter, and then when the masses discover it, then I flee. So, but Zoom, I wasn't in the need to the emotional state where I had oh my God, I can't live without seeing this person or talking to this person. So I didn't Zoom. In fact, I have to say, last week is when I lost my Zoom virginity, if you will. Just last week. So almost 2 months of the entire world having Zoom cocktail parties, Zoom happy hours, Zoom book clubs, Zoom everything. Social as well as work-related, Zoom, Zoom, Zoom. For me, Zoom still remained that PBS show that was originated from Boston, Mass. 02134. It was not some addictive technology that I had to use. Now, once again, I am not anti-technology. I am not a Luddite. Yes, I do have a flip phone, and I'm proud of my flip phone. And my flip phone, even in this COVID world, is serving me well. I am finding no deficiencies are happening in my daily routine with using my flip phone as opposed to an iPhone. Still, even in a COVID shutdown, the flip phone is doing the job. But now, you know, and even in a Zoom world, I mean, you talked about Zoom. You Google, right? You FaceTime. I don't think I've ever FaceTimed. I do Skype. When I talk to Emily, in fact, when I record this podcast and when she's on or I have any guest on, I do use Skype. Wow, look at you, Jim, using Skype. I feel sorry for Skype. Skype really must be killing themselves because they had the corner on this whole video conferencing, popular video conferencing technology. But I guess they didn't have the multiple screen technology. Or do they? I don't know. I do use Skype, but you know what? I don't use the video aspect of it. I'm old school. I've told you that. I embrace technology, but there's some things. I embrace a technology that really provides something that is useful. I don't really. I enjoy talking on the phone. I don't have to see the person. As I said, I've never FaceTimed. when I'm talking to somebody on the phone, I use a phone, first of all, which most people don't do. I rarely text. When I talk to them on the phone, I don't mind imagining them. I don't have to see them. Even when I use Skype, Emily and I do not look at each other. We just have our little pictures up there. I'm just looking around everywhere when I'm talking on Skype. So I even when I've used Skype, I haven't used the video aspect of it. In fact, on my computer right now, my camera has a piece of tape over it. I have a piece of tape over my camera on my laptop. Because they always say that, you know, if you don't, you never know when that camera might light up and you might, you know, be inadvertently broadcasting something or sending up some pictures that you don't want. So I cover up my camera. I don't even know that I have a camera on my laptop. So when Zoom came along, I didn't really feel the need. I didn't have anybody. Now, I must say this, the other aspect of this, nobody invited me to a Zoom party either. So it wasn't now so much that I was against Zoom. Nobody was inviting me to a Zoom party. Wah, wah. And I'm not looking for sympathy. But nobody invited me to a Zoom party either. So that was another reason why I didn't use it. But just last week is the first time within the last 2 months of this entire shutdown was the first time. And that's only because a friend of mine who I haven't seen in a long time said, do you want to Zoom? I've talked to him on the phone all the time, but he's been using Zoom for his work and other things. And he said, hey, have you used Zoom yet? You know, let's Zoom. And once again, once he said, let's Zoom, I started to sing the Zoom song. Come on and Zoom, 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 Zoom. So my first Zoom, and once again, using it as a verb and a noun, my first Zoom experience happened just last week with a friend of mine. And right off the bat, you know, I forgot about the piece of tape on my camera. I didn't have another external camera hooked up. I guess you can do that too. As I said, I'm losing my Zoom virginity here. I don't know, you know, I'm not a Zoom prostitute at this point. I'm not a horny Zoomer. I don't know all the tricks. I'm just, you know, I'm a Zoom virgin here. I'm afraid. I'm interested. I don't know if I'm going to go all the way or not. But I was showing my Zoom ignorance when I forgot to even take the tape off of my laptop. So I was having a hard time even logging on to the Zoom. I don't know why. My computer wasn't letting me in. You got to go to the app store and get this, download that, install this, boop, bop, beep, bop, bop, boop. Here's the password. Here's no password. I don't know. Somehow the Zoom website came up on my computer. And then somehow my friend's picture came up. And there he was. And he says, where are you? And I said, I'm sitting right in front of my computer. He says, well, I don't see anything. He said, it's all black. Then it hits me. I have tape on my camera on the top of my laptop. So I pull it off and he goes, wow, it looks foggy. So then I take my thumb and I'm rubbing the lens there on that little light, you know, on the little camera you have on the top of your laptop screen. And I said, well, that right now you're seeing my thumb cleaning off the lens, and ta-da, there I was. So now, of course, now I'm all, you know, very, and I was prepared. I had showered and shaved and combed my hair and the whole thing. And I know that you're supposed to during a Zoom conference. You know, like all virgins, I read up on the subject. Just because I hadn't done it yet didn't mean I didn't know some of the tricks. So I knew that many Zoom people were complaining that, you know, you should lift your computer, put your computer up on a book or something so that you're looking straight into the camera as opposed to down into the camera. So I even had that done. I was prepared. I presented myself well. I had a shirt on. I even had pants on, even though I didn't have to. I had my computer elevated on a book. I was, you know, eye level. And of course, I didn't have the camera on. Oops. So there we go. I take it off, and after some, problems logging on, I see him. But now I'm not hearing him. Totally not hearing him. And I go to the mute and unmute. I tried all that, not hearing him. So as most virginal, losses of virginity, that first time is not always the most smooth or the most memorable, right? Well, this was certainly one of those. This was like fumbling in the backseat of a car. A lot of fumbling going on in my first Zoom session. So I'm getting a picture finally. I don't even know how I got the picture, but there he was. And apparently there I was on his side. And I could see my little myself on this little small square above his square at the top of my laptop screen. But I couldn't hear him. Could not hear him. So to augment this, this is how low tech this is how just fumbled my first Zoom experience was. I called him on my flip phone. And so I had my flip phone speaker on. Yes, my flip phone does have a speaker. Thank you very much. Once again, as I said, my flip phone almost has too many things on it. But it does have a speaker. So I had my flip phone there and open on speaker. And so I saw him visually on my screen using the Zoom technology, but I was listening to him on the phone. So it was a semi-Zoom situation. I think I technically lost my Zoom virginity. But at the same time, I don't know if I really did, because it wasn't a purely 100% Zoom experience. The earth did not move, put it that way. So, but anyway, we were able to have our discussion. I was on the phone and I could hear him because, I guess my phone was hearing him on the Zoom. I don't even know, right? What am I talking about? I called him. I called him on his cell phone. So he had his cell phone there. And I'm hearing him talk. So that's how I Zoomed. I Zoomed using the Zoom picture and using my cell phone audio. And so we talked for a while. It was fine. But as I was talking to him, and now I want you to be very honest with yourself. If you have Zoomed, if you are a regular Zoomer, like a Trekkie, are you a Zoomie or a Zoomer? Is that, what is somebody that Zooms? Are they Zoomies or are they Zoomers? I don't know. If you're a serious Star Trek fan, you call yourself a Trekker. The public calls you a Trekkie, but Trekkie, that term, Star Trek fans didn't like it. Felt like they were being referred to like children. So Star Trek fans refer to themselves as Trekkers. It sounds a little more adult. But I don't know what Zoomers, are you a Zoomer or a Zoomie? I don't know. But if you are a Zoom veteran, now be honest. Now be honest. You've got all your friends there on your Zoom screen, right? Whether it's 3 or 2 or 1. And you've got yourself in a small screen too, correct? I assume, because that's what I saw myself. Whether you have, 20 people on that screen or just one, in addition to yourself. Now, let's be honest. Now, be honest. For the majority of the time that you're talking on Zoom, now be honest, are you looking at people, the other people on your little squares, or are you looking at yourself in your own little square? I'm going to be completely honest. Zoom is no technology for a narcissist because I would say I found myself looking at myself about 95% of the time while I talked to my friend. In fact, I didn't even need him on the screen. And the fact that I had him on my cell phone speaker and that I was looking at myself on the Zoom screen as opposed to talking to him, I was basically talking to myself and watching myself. I devised that I really don't need to even log on to Zoom to get the same experience. For me, the Zoom experience is a cell phone with a speaker with me looking into a mirror. That will completely recreate the Zoom experience that I had. It was like I was looking into a mirror. I was looking at myself the whole time. I don't think his image may have occasionally out of my peripheral vision. Oh, that's right. I'm talking to my friend here. But really, I was watching myself. I was watching myself talk. Maybe it was just because it was my first time. I was very self-conscious. I was constantly like changing the way that the way my face was, the angle of my face, how close I was. I was fidgeting with my shirt. I was fidgeting with my hair. I was completely obsessed with myself. I don't even know what we talked about. I have no idea. I was just watching and listening to myself. And oh, by the way, there was another person on the phone. And I even joked to my friend after a while. I said, I don't know about you, but I am not even looking at you. I finally had to admit it to him. And as I said, for me, to recreate the Zoom experience, much easier. No hiccups, no technology problems, no problems logging on. I don't need a password. If I'm gonna Zoom someone, they won't see me. But from my standpoint, all I need is a cell phone with a speaker and either a full length or a convenient hand mirror. And that is what my Zoom experience was. So I don't know what you do. If you are watching Zoom and on a Zoom call and you really are not peeking over at yourself and you're looking at the other people or either the one person, wow, you are so emotionally and mentally evolved. Good for you. Your parents did a great job with you. Because, wow, I could not look away. Zoom is either the narcissist's curse or the narcissist's dream. And it wasn't that I was enjoying looking at myself, but I was so self-conscious of what image I was sending out to him. So, I don't know if it's pure narcissism or if it's pure insecurity. Maybe Zoom is not good for the insecure. I will admit I'm a narcissist, but so it's a combination. It's a narcissist and an insecure person's a dream and curse because you are able to look at yourself. So that plays into your narcissist inclinations. But then you see yourself and you see your flaws, and so then you're insecure. but I couldn't look away. The narcissist in me would not allow me to look away, even though I was insecure about what, the angle I was at, or the way my shirt was hanging, or my hair wasn't right. I mean, oh my God, that conversation was so stressful because I don't even remember what I talked about with her, but I do remember constantly fidgeting with my appearance. So I have to say that while I lost my Zoom virginity, it was not a pleasurable or memorable experience. I will remember it though forever. You never forget your first, but I will remember it for the disaster that it was, and I will also remember it for, once again, I didn't need it. It's not useless. I'm sure if you're in a work situation, and I've used video conferencing in the past in work situations, so I'm not, you know, oblivious to it. I used video conferencing 25 years ago. But this was a new thing. It'd been a while, this Zoom thing, and I just realized that when I am communicating with someone, when I'm not in front of them, I really need the human contact. If I'm with someone and I'm engaged in the conversation, I like to be with that person. But when I am not with them, I have no problems being on the phone and just speaking to them and letting my imagination fill in the blanks. I don't need the visual. Now, I know in today's world, and especially younger people that are raised on video, they need that contact, that visual contact. That's most important. There's the visual for the younger generation is key. They need the visual. I guess I'm old school. I prefer the interpersonal communication of being in person. And when I'm not, then I guess I'm okay with using my own imagination and talking on the phone. Plus, I enjoy talking on the phone more than the Zoom thing because, I don't know about you, but depending on how long the phone conversation is, I like to move around when I'm on the phone. When I talk on the phone, I rarely sit in the same position, in the same place, in the same room for the whole conversation. I may pick up the phone in one room and walk around and go to another room and sit there for a while, depending on how long the phone call is. So to me, it'd be a pain to be having to walk around with my laptop everywhere. So that would be an odd encumbrance for me. I'm just used to using the phone. When I'm not with you, I can talk and use my imagination. And when I'm with you, then you got my attention. But I really don't know if this screen thing really does it for me. I think a lot of other people are doing the same thing I did. I think we're all looking at each other, to be honest with you. And we're pretending that we're being social. And in theory, we are being social on Zoom, but I don't think that I'm that different than anybody else. And if you're really honest, like I just have been with you, you're looking at yourself on that Zoom. Come on, you know you are. Just admit it. It's fine. It's fine. I'm trying to take away the stigma. We already know we're narcissists. We know we live in a narcissist world these days. We love to look at ourselves and pictures and everything. And now Zoom is yet another visual place for us to look at each other, but mostly look at ourselves. But I was not afraid to admit that, even when I was on my Zoom call. So all I can say is, when I think of Zoom, I think of one thing. Write Zoom, Z-O-O-M, Box 350, Boston, Mass. 02134. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Don't forget, every Monday a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com. Just go to the podcast section and you will see Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic among the list there. Just click on and have some fun. Or you can go to any place where you download your favorite podcasts. We're there. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, rate it, but most of all, tell your friends, send them a link, send them a message that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. You've been listening to episode 208. Thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. Your loyalty and your devotion is much appreciated. I am Jim Toronto, and here on business, I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen. Happy 4th anniversary.